So, go back to March 26, 1937. Go back a little bit. Friday, in the morning, I at once felt the torture of his 5 wounds in my body. This suffering continued until 3 o'clock. Although there is no outward sign of it, the torture is no less painful. I'm glad that Jesus is protecting me from people's eyes. So much pain, but inside, cannot see. No blood coming out. At 11 o'clock, Jesus said to me, "My host, you are refreshment for my tormented heart." I thought, after these words, that my heart would burn up. And he brought me into such close intimacy with himself that my heart was exposed to his heart in a loving union. And I could feel the faintest stir of his heart and he of mine. The fire of my created love was joined to the ardor of his eternal love. Oh, love is very human. Jesus' love is agape, this supernatural, divine. This one grace surpasses all others in its immensity. His Trinitarian being enveloped me entirely. I am totally immersed in him. My littleness, as it were, wrestling with the immortal mighty one. I am immersed in incomprehensible love and incomprehensible torture because of his passion. It's both. It's love and it's pain. When you experience his divine love, all at the same time, also the pain. All the concern his being is imparted to me also. So the being, the body of Christ is resurrected, of course, but still, you know, the pain of sin, sinfulness of the world is attacking him also. Up to now, Jesus has been bringing me to know about and to have a presentiment of this grace, but today he granted it to me. I would not even dare to dream about it. My heart is in ceaseless ecstasy, as it were, although outwardly nothing disturbed my contact with my neighbor or my attending to various matters. So she still continued to do the normal assignment, but nobody knows that she's so much pain and so much. We have to learn many times, but so much painful, you know, bad news from home or some bad news from our family members. Heart is worried, but you have to work well what you're doing as if nothing happened. To offer, but present yourself as a gift for others. Nothing is capable of interrupting my ecstasy, nor can anyone suspect it, because I have asked God to protect me from detection by people. And together with his grace, they entered my soul a whole ocean of light, enabling me to understand God and myself. Amazement overwhelms me entirely and leads me as if into a new ecstasy, aroused by the fact that God has deigned to descend to me, who am so little. At 3 o'clock, I prayed prostrate in the form of the cross for the whole world. By the way, John Paul II, he many times he used to pray before the Blessed Sacrament prostrated by a cross. In his chapel, I mean, it's not open to all, but sometimes his secretary seeing do this thing, Nobody knows, but you know, these are saints, they're doing things. I heard his seven words. Then he looked at me and said, "Beloved daughter of my heart, you are my solace amid terrible torments. Jesus commanded me to make a novena before the Feast of Mercy. And today I'm to begin it for the conversion of the whole world and for recognition of the divine mercy, so that every soul will praise my goodness. I desire trust from my creatures, encourage souls to place great trust in my faithless mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me. For even if it had more sins than there are grains of sand in the world, all would be drowned in the immeasurable depths of my mercy." So, we don't trust much. Still Jesus emphasizing this trust. We presume that we trust, but not the fact. We think we trust. When Jesus had given up his last breath, my soul dissolved from the pain. And for a long time, I couldn't come to myself. I found some relief in tears. The one whom my heart had come to love has died. Will anyone understand my grief? In the evening, over the radio, I heard hymns, that is, psalms sung by priests. I burst into tears, and all the pain was renewed in my soul, and I wept sorrowfully, unable to find appeasement in this pain. Then I heard a voice in my soul, "Do not cry. I am not suffering anymore. And for the faithfulness with which you accompanied me in my sufferings and death, your own death will be a solemn one, and I will accompany you in the last hour. Beloved pearl of my heart, I see your love as so pure, purer than that of the angels, and all the more so because you keep fighting. For your sake, I bless the world. I see your efforts to appease me, and it delights my heart." So Jesus, today is no more suffering, but at times the spiritual exercise make him feel the same pain and make an effort. It's more important, we have to make our effort, not easy come, easy go. You have to desire to be close by hook or by crook. It's not that, no. After these words, I wept no more, but thanked the Heavenly Father for having sent us his Son and for the work of the redemption of mankind. I made an hour of adoration in thanksgiving for the graces which had been granted me and for my illness. Illness also is a great grace. I have been ill for 4 months. Tuberculosis, I think, then. I do not recall having wasted so much as a minute of it. All has been for God and souls. I want to be faithful to him everywhere. During this adoration, I realized the utter care and goodness that Jesus has been lavishing upon me and the protection he has given me against all evil. I thank you, especially Jesus, for visiting me in my solitude. And I thank you also for inspiring my superiors to send me for this treatment. Give them, Jesus, the omnipotence of your blessing and compensate them for all the losses incurred because of me. Today, Jesus is bidding me to comfort and reassure a certain soul who has opened herself to me and told me about her difficulties. This soul is pleasing to the Lord, but she is not aware of it. God is keeping her in deep humility. I've carried out the Lord's directives. So, it's sometimes a pure soul feeling so sinful, and they can't be at ease, you know. They feel so bad. You know, God allowing his purification. Sometimes we say, well, can't do much things, and we are so feeling, but still, you are loved, beloved of the Lord. Oh, my most sweet Master, good Jesus, I give you my heart. You shaped and molded after your liking. Oh, fathomless love, I open the colors of my heart to you, like a rosebud to the freshness of dew. To you unknown, my betrothed is known, the fragrance of the flower of my heart. Let the fragrance of my sacrifice be pleasing to you. O immortal God, my everything, everlasting delight, already here on earth, you are my heaven. May every bit of my heart be a new hymn of praise to you, O Holy Trinity. Had I as many hearts as there are drops of water in the ocean of grains, or grains of sand in the whole world, I will offer them all to you. O my love, O treasure of my heart, whomever I shall meet in my life, no matter who they may be, I want to draw them all to love you. My Jesus, my beauty, my repose, my soul master, judge, savior, and spouse, all in one. Although that one title will modify the other, I have entrusted everything to your mercy. So, our mission is to bring people to Jesus, nothing else, not to you. Bring them to Jesus. So don't worry, even you do something good and people doesn't care what about you, it's not your business. You just bring them to Jesus. You mind your own business. What they are doing is important. They follow Jesus. Help them to follow Jesus. They're finished. We like to John Baptist, no? He must grow and I must decrease. My Jesus, support me when difficult and stormy days come, days of testing, days of ordeal, when suffering and fatigue begin to oppress my body and my soul. Sustain me, Jesus, and give me strength to bear suffering. Set a guard upon my lips, that they may address no word of complaint to creature. Your most merciful heart is all to my hope. I have nothing for my defense, but only your mercy. In it lies all my trust. March 27, 1937. Today I returned from Prague after nearly 4 months of treatment. Homecoming, eh? For everything, I give thanks to God, break thanks to God. I've made use of every moment to glorify God. When I went into the chapel for a moment, I realized how much I would have to suffer and struggle with regard to this whole matter. Oh Jesus, my strength, you alone can help me. Grant me fortitude. March 28, Resurrection. During the Mass of Resurrection, I saw the Lord in beauty and splendor, and he said to me, my daughter, peace be with you. He blessed me and disappeared, and my soul was filled with gladness and joy beyond words. My heart was fortified for struggle and sufferings. Today, I had a conversation with Father Andres, and he had recommended great caution in the matter of these sudden appearance of the Lord Jesus. When he was speaking about divine mercy, some sort of strength and power entered my heart. My God, I want so much to express everything and am so very unable to do so. Father tells me that the Lord Jesus is very generous in communicating himself to souls, and on the other hand, he is, so to speak, stingy. Although God's generosity is very great, said Father, be careful anyway, because this sudden appearance arouses suspicion. Although personally, I do not see anything wrong here, or anything contrary to faith, but be a little more careful. And when Mother Superior comes, you can talk to her about these things. Though this is a personal experience with Jesus, no? But also the spiritual director, and this is Father Andres, tell her, be careful. At times you don't know the mixture with the Saturn is coming inside. As if you got a good message or not, but very careful. March 29th, 1937. During meditation today, I saw the Lord in great beauty, and he said to me, peace be to you, my daughter. My whole soul trembled with love for him, and I said, oh Lord, although I love you with all my heart, please do not appear to me, because my spiritual director has told me that these sudden appearances of yours arouse the suspicion that you could be an illusion. Straightforward, eh? What a spiritual director told her. She came to Jesus, come on to me, don't come to me. So tell him, aunt, although I love you more than my own life, and I know that you are my Lord and God, who are communing with me, I must above all be obedient to my confessor. Even she had direct contact with Jesus, direct link, to get through the secretary. Jesus listened to my words with gravity and kindness and spoke this word to me. Tell your confessor that I commune with your soul in such an intimate manner because you do not steal my gifts, and this is why I pour all these graces upon your soul, because I know that you will not hold them for yourself, but as a sign that his prudence is agreeable to me, you shall not see me, and I will not appear to you in this way until you have given him an account of what I have just said. You have to tell the spiritual realm, oh, I'm telling you, if you keep your mouth shut, I will not appear to you anymore. April 2nd, 1937. In the morning during Mass, I heard these words. Tell the superior that I want adoration to take place here for the intention of imploring mercy for the world. Oh my Jesus, you alone know what my heart is going through. Oh my strength, you can do all things. And though I expose myself to great sufferings, I shall always remain faithful to you because I am sustained by your singular grace. April 3rd, 1937. Today the Lord said to me, tell the Reverend Professor, quote, probably Father Theodore, that I decided on the feast of my mercy, he delivered a sermon about my victimless mercy. I fulfilled God's wish, but the priest did not want to acknowledge the Lord's message. When I left the confessional, I heard these words, do as I tell you and be at peace. This matter is between him and me. You will not be held responsible for this. So, calm her. Although the spiritual confessor doesn't listen, don't worry. It's me with the confessor, and you. Otherwise, you're disturbed. Something wrong. April 4th, 1937, Lord Sunday. that is the Feast of Mercy. In the morning, after Holy Communion, my soul was immersed in the Godhead. I was united to three divine persons in such a way that when I was united to Jesus, I was simultaneously united to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. My soul was flooded with joy beyond understanding, and the Lord gave me to experience the whole ocean and the beast of His faithless mercy. Oh, if only souls would want to understand how much God loves them. All comparisons, even if they were the most tender and the most human, are but a mere shadow when set against the reality. When I was united to the Lord, I came to know how many souls are glorifying God's mercy. When I went for adoration, I heard these words: "My beloved daughter, write down these words, that today my heart has rested in this convent, Krakow House. Tell the whole world about my mercy and my love. The flames of mercy are burning me. I decide to pour them out upon human souls. Oh, what pain they cause me when they do not want to accept them, to accept love. Don't believe, no trust." That's what Jesus said. "My daughter, do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my mercy. I will make up for what you lack. Tell aging mankind to snuggle close to my merciful heart, and will find it and will fill it with peace. So when you come close to divine mercy, peace is given to you. Tell all people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such an abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. So what it is giving you is not only for yourself. It's like a ray spreading out, radius. Souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives as a tender mother, as a tender mother her infant. And at the hour of death, I will not be judged for them, but the merciful Savior. At the last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. Happy is the soul that during its lifetime immerses itself in the fountain of mercy, because justice will have no hold on it. God is of love, not of justice. But you have to trust. Write this: everything that exists is enclosed in the bowels of a mercy, more deeply than an infant in its mother's womb. How painful the distrust of my goodness wounds me. Sins of distrust wound me most painfully." So this is begging us: trust, believe. So this belief makes your life so close to Him that you radiate His light to others. So whatever people sing, what you're doing, they feel the presence of God. But first of all, you have to deeply be one, united, purity of intention with the Lord, believing, kind of emotion also, with this heart. During Holy Mass, the directress of novices played a beautiful hymn about the mercy of God, and then asked the Lord to give her a deeper knowledge of the beast of this inconceivable mercy. So So people play beautiful music, but being allowed to just over sign, but perhaps no inner taste. So she's asking that the Lord give her also music, not only giving out insight. I'm not sure you have choir here. You know, sing with the sweetness of your heart. If you have a sweet song, sweet song is beautiful. God gave giving, sweet voice, dance of God. But more important is sweet heart, right? When I was singing goodnight to the Lord before retiring, I heard the words, "Hosts, dear to my heart, for your sake, I bless the earth." April 7, 1937, today, when a certain person entered the chapel, I felt terrible pain in my hands, my feet, and my side, just as Jesus did during his passion. This lasted only for a brief moment, but in this way, I recognized a soul who was not in God's grace. On one occasion, I saw the Holy Father reflecting about this matter, presumably the establishment of the Feast of Divine Mercy. April 10, 1937. Today, Mother Superior gave me an article about the Divine Mercy to read, and with it, there was also a reproduction of the image that had been painted. The article appeared in the Vilnius Weekly and was sent to us in Krakow by Father Michael Sopoko, the zealous apostle of the Divine Mercy. In this article, I included words that the Lord Jesus has spoken to me, some of them quoted verbatim. When I took the issue of the weekly into my hands, an arrow of love pierced my soul. For the sake of your ardent desires, I am hastening the feast of mercy. So Jesus told him, "For the sake of your ardent desires, I'm hastening the feast of mercy." My spirit burst into such a powerful flame of love that it seemed to me that I was totally dissolved in God. The beautiful soul who is spreading this work of divine mercy throughout the world is, by his deep humility, very pleasing to God. Before every major grace, my soul undergoes a test of patience. For I feel the grace, but do not yet possess it. My spirit burns with impatience, but the hour has not yet come. These moments are very extraordinary, that it is difficult to describe it. So you can see coming out the adoration of Divine Mercy. Have the same sentiment with Father Sister Faustina. Purity of intention, our love for neighbor, nothing else. When you suffer, offer it and leave the next moment with joy. It's more important. So always together for Jesus, no? His pain, his resurrection, the same time. So it's his stigmata, he explained his stigmata, but also the joy of the resurrection.